This is a recording from 103 Baptist Church.
Well, can I ask Axel to bring his parents out the front, please? In the name of Jesus Christ, we welcome with a new son, Axel, Cynthia and Adrian, and all their family. And it's lovely, all these people, we're all part of their family. Do you include me as well?
Yes,
and me too. That's great. Yeah, and us too. To present their child before the Lord, as Jesus was presented in the temple by his parents. In doing so, they recognize that their child is not their personal property, but belongs to God. And that as parents, they have responsibilities before God. In their promises, they will commit themselves to fulfill those responsibilities. As a church, we shall welcome their child into our family as Jesus welcomed children who were brought to him. Also, we shall promise in the presence of God to offer our support and friendship to this child and to his family, and to join with his parents in sharing our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in the hope that one day he will discover such faith for himself. Finally, we shall ask for God's blessing on this child. So we'll begin by recalling the promises and commands of God concerning children. In the Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy, God said, "Hear, Israel, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments which I give you today are to be remembered and taken to heart. Repeat them to your children and speak of them both indoors and out of doors, when you lie down and when you get up." In Matthew's gospel, Jesus said, "Truly, I tell you, unless you turn around and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself and becomes like this child will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." And in Mark's gospel, we read, they brought children for him to touch. The disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not try to stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, whoever does not accept the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." And he put his arms around them, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. Let's pray. Lord God, we praise you, the creator of all things, the giver of all life, and the father of each person. Joyfully, we thank you for the gift of new life in the birth of this child, for all that you have given and will give to us through him, for the potential of this new life, for the love and hope that he has awakened, and for the care which surrounds him. Accept our thanks and praise in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Cynthia and Adrian, do you thank God for the gift of your child? And do you accept the joys and responsibilities of parenthood, promising to give love and care to your child?
We do.
Do you promise to bring up your son within the Christian family and to share your own faith with him? What names have you given to your son? This might take a while.
Yes, Axel, Granville, Edward, Jay, Quacku, Morton.
That's a lot of names, isn't it? Yeah, that's why he's such a tall baby, you see. Okay, right. Oh, that's what everyone does, they yawn when I talk. Hello. Axel, Granville, Jay, Edward, Quacku, Morton. Have I got that right, Ray?
Not right order, but this is.
Yeah. We welcome you into our church family in the name of the Lord. And I'm going to talk to the church now. Do you promise, as the church family here, to offer Axel and his family your love and care, and to join with them in sharing our Christian faith?
We do.
Axel, the Lord bless and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Welcome by clapping. Okay, thank you. That's it. Please take a seat. Let's come to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you that you have created us and saved us and cared for us. Thank you for the Christian family that you have made us part of. And we do pray for all the different facets of the work that go on at this moment. We thank you for those who are involved with the children and the youth. We pray your blessing upon them. We thank you for those who are doing practical things today, like serving coffee and doing the projector and doing the sound and on the door. And we pray your blessing upon them. And we thank you that we have a sense of celebration of new life today as we think of little Axel. And we do again pray for your blessing upon that family. And thank you for bringing Adrian and Cynthia to us. Father, we do pray for all that is in store for us, all that we have planned, and we want to commit these plans to you. We thought about the Alpha course, and thank you for Jean's enthusiasm and what you've done in her life and other people's life through the Alpha course. And we're looking to you for great things for this forthcoming one. And we do pray your hand to be upon us all. Help us to know who to invite. Thank you for there are people already who've committed themselves to come, and we pray for a good number of people to come and your blessing upon them. And Heavenly Father, we do pray for those in need. We think of Norma with her operation on Tuesday. We think of Jeanette and Catherine and commit them to you and commit the whole family to you. We pray for Eileen as she grieves the loss of her sister, and also for Nigel. For him as he cares for his sister Gwendolyn. We pray for her in Kingsmill Hospital and pray for your hand to be upon her. We do pray for Martin, who has been unwell this week, and Barbara, who is unwell, and so many others in our church who are in need of a touch from you. We commit them to you. And we pray for our world. We thank you, Father, that we've seen a better international situation. We pray for these tensions between Iran and America. And we do pray for Iran as a country. We know there are many believers who are struggling and suffering there. We know there are many people struggling with what's going on in that country. And we pray for them. And we do pray for Mushka, who's here among us from Iran. We pray your blessing upon her and her family. We pray for those who seek refuge. We pray for people in camps in Jordan and Lebanon. Pray for our Syrian friends here and for your hand to be upon them. And Father, we pray that you would continue to help us to be hope in the heart of our community here. In the name of Jesus, we ask this. Amen.
The reading is from Mark chapter 10, commencing at verse 13. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them.
Right, I hope these are the right notes. I'm missing my tablet, but it's. I don't think it really is fixable, but my son's still trying to fix it. You wouldn't believe the amount of paper that's piled up in my office now. Well, back in December, I went for a walk over the Misk Hills, and kind of prayer walk. You know, just wanted to go out and seek the Lord. One Tuesday morning, and in fact that evening as deacons we were having a sort of special meeting in which we were just going to wait on the Lord and feed back the next month what the Lord had spoken to us about. Well, actually on that Tuesday the Lord spoke to me whilst I was out on the hills and confirmed it in the time that we had together later on. But there was two things that were really deeply on my heart and concerning me as I was looking to the new year. One was the children's work on Sunday. And I knew that the volunteers there were really struggling. We were short of people, and I really appreciated what they were doing, but was very concerned about them and about the children's work. And also, the children and family worker. We're recruiting for a new children and family worker, and there was nothing. In fact, there is nothing still, but I have had a text to say there's going to be something soon. So keep praying that text will turn into an application. But I just love to get out and just seek the Lord. It's always a bit difficult when you get people walking their dogs. Sometimes what I do is actually whip out my phone and pretend I'm on the phone. I the Lord understand. But I thought, well, at least, I just want to carry on talking to the Lord. I was just pouring out my heart, saying, Lord, I'm really concerned about these children. I really, really need a children and families worker. And it's like that, those situations when the Lord speaks back to you. Like when the gentleman, he was saying, where is the God of Elijah? And the Lord spoke and said, well, where are the Elijahs? And I had an unexpected answer to my prayer, and the Lord really did speak. It wasn't an audible voice, but it was just, the Spirit kind of impressing these things on my heart and mind. And it was actually that we need to have a vision for children's work. We need, as a church, to really have a heart for children. Now, I know that we do, but I was convicted, actually, that personally, I've always just sort of seen it as something that I sort of delegate. A children and families worker, that's what they do, and I focus on other things. But the Lord really challenged me and was saying, now, Simon, have you got a heart for the children in this church? Have you got a heart for the children? And can you share that heart with other people? And I have been praying about this since then, and praying that God would give me a vision for children's work that will encourage the church, and that, when we do get a children and families worker, they'll be riding on the wave of this, as it were, and that there'll be people who have a heart for this work will say, yeah, I want to get involved in this important ministry. And also, as a church together, we'll say, actually, it concerns all of us. We all have a stake in the lives of these children, in their future, whether it's by prayer or encouragement or just generally being involved or directly being involved. So this is the kind of bare bones of something I've put together. And I have had a bit of help from a couple of people who are really experts on children's work. But this is what I believe our vision should be. And he's tidying up, but this is it. By the way, I thought that picture kind of summed it up. That's my youngest grandson with his Uncle Liam. And Uncle Liam is quite tall. Incidentally, if you're going to be in casualty, in A&E, in the next few months, you might see him. He's just about to go and work there as a charge nurse or something, or whatever they call them. But I thought that picture summed it up, bringing a child along. He did say he wasn't really miserable, but he wasn't expecting my daughter-in-law to take the photo. But it's a beautiful photo, isn't it? But our vision for children's work should be that we want to welcome children as Jesus would, accepting their backgrounds, experience, individual character, and needs. That we will pray for them and provide settings in which they can pray for others. Because children really love to pray. And children often pray in the most remarkable way. That we'll support and help their parents, carers, and families. That we will teach children about Jesus by word and example. That we will live as a Christian community which enables them to be and to grow in a living relationship with Jesus. That we'll look forward to the time they declare their faith through baptism. And that we'll equip them to live as Jesus' disciples. This isn't just for the minister and the deacons and the children's workers. This is for all of us. You may not be directly involved in children's work, but we all are stewards of the children involved in here. And Jesus makes that clear in what he says in this passage. And we're going to go to that passage and take some important pointers to see how do we put this into practice? How do we invest in the lives of the children that God has blessed us with here? Well, the first thing we need to do is to encourage parents. Now, in this passage, it was a very busy time in Jesus' ministry. The disciples had seen Jesus in the glory he had before he was incarnate, before he was born as a baby, what we call the pre-incarnate glory of Jesus. He was transfigured before them. And not long after this, the disciples were arguing about who is the greatest. I find them both shocking but also comforting, because they're ordinary guys, ordinary people. And there they are, see Jesus in his glory. What's the next thing they do? Argue about who's the greatest. And Mark tells us in the previous chapter, chapter 9, verse 36 and 37, that Jesus took a little child and had him stand among them. Taking him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." So there he was, taking a child from the margins to the center. Now, as we know from the gospel, the disciples weren't the best of listeners. They've moved on to a new location. The crowds were swarming around Jesus, and he'd been given some pretty intense teaching about things like divorce and relationships. But finally, it was time for a tea break. But it wasn't going to happen. People were bringing children to him to have him touch them. You know what it's like when you just think you can have a break and suddenly you've got swarms of people around you? That's how the disciples felt, and you can understand it, because there would have been thousands of people around them. They just wanted a break. But here were these parents bringing their children. Just children, that's all. And remember, in their culture, children were considered nothing. These parents truly wanted the best for their children. And they realized that Jesus was unlike any other teacher that they'd known. They'd heard him give words of wisdom that applied to their lives. They'd heard him talk about God in a way that was real. They'd seen him heal people. They knew that at least he was a prophet, and maybe some of them had an inkling he was the Son of God and the King to come. And Matthew's gospel actually gives us a little bit of extra detail. It said they wanted him to put his hands on them and pray. At the very least, they saw Jesus as a man of God who would bring the presence of God into their lives and their children. And that's what they wanted. I mean, these parents are to be commended. But there was a bit of a problem. The disciples rebuked them. And the Greek word there describes very strong approval. There's a picture of my little grandson there. Now, imagine he comes around to my house and he just wants to touch something that we don't want him to knock over, and we go, "No, no, Oliver." That's kind of a mild rebuke. But imagine I've left a record on my turntable and he heads over to it and decides it looks like a very nice frisbee, and it's one of my remastered Yes albums. Now, I would lose all my kind of grandfatherly gentleness and go, "Oliver, no, no, no." Well, that actually is the force of the word in the original language. That it's a really sharp rebuke. Get away! Go away! They're not just saying, "No, sorry, we're closed today." They're saying, "Look, we don't want you. We don't need you." In fact, it was bordering on rudeness. It probably was rudeness. As I said, it wouldn't have been surprising, because children were considered nothing. Why are you bothering Jesus with children? They obviously hadn't listened to what he said about being like children. They obviously hadn't made the connection of Jesus bringing a child into the midst of them. It looks as though Jesus spotted what they were doing quite quickly. And we're told that when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. And the word there means he was incensed. He was irate. It was a righteous anger that he had. One day I came home in my church in Portsmouth. I'd been at a meeting. I came home and found that my son, who was about 15 at that time, had my computer in bits on the floor. I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, I thought I'd see if I can take it to pieces and put it back together again." Now, did I pat him on the head and say, "Oh, that's a really great initiative of you"? I was, all my work kind of all on there, all the money I'd spent, I was absolutely irate and incensed. And And quite rightly too, he never asked me, and later on it went on like when the car disappeared, when he learnt to drive, and you come out of church, where's the car? You know, and there was no mobile phones to track them down in those days. Well, that's the force of the word there with Jesus. He was really angry in a righteous way. He felt deeply about this, both as the Son of God and as the perfect man. That's quite a contrast there. I wonder which side of it we're on. If, you know, we're like the disciples and we think, oh, parents bringing their children, get away. It's not important. I want to get into the important stuff. Or like Jesus, that actually we are deeply concerned about children. We're deeply concerned to support parents. Do we encourage parents or do we grieve Jesus by our attitude towards their children and our attitude towards them? I was really challenged about this when I was thinking about dedications, and it's been wonderful to do the dedication this morning. But in my early years of ministry, if someone rang up and they weren't a Christian and said, would you dedicate our baby? I'd say, we've got the Anglicans, they do that sort of thing. No, we don't want to get baptized. We want it to be dedicated. And I'd be kind of reluctant. And actually, I can see how wrong I was looking at this, because these parents, okay, they didn't believe Jesus as the Son of God. They didn't have a relationship with Jesus, but they had a desire to bring their children to Jesus in their own way. And that was something to build on. I had a phone call once. It was really interesting. It was from a parent who was really concerned. Parent just got my number out of the book. And it was down as the minister in the phone book. Please don't do that. I got all sorts of interesting calls. But this fellow rang up and he said that his little boy just kept getting woken up and kept seeing this image of an old man, like a ghostly image. Part of you wants to sort of say, oh, he's been reading too much Goosebumps, you know, just read him something good. But I really felt, you know, that the Lord was saying, go. I hadn't got a clue what to do, but I went round there and I talked to the little boy, explained what it was. I just shared just simply something about the gospel, about Jesus conquering Satan, and that we can look to him. I prayed in the room and I got them, I think I probably got them a child sort of version of the, you know, child-friendly Bible, so that he could read the 23rd Psalm. And I thought, well, I've done what I can. And I went away. And a few weeks later, the father rang up and he said, do you know, he's had no more trouble. Thank you for doing that. And actually, as a consequence, it's interesting, all around that area, all strange things happened, and I became known as the exorcist of Eastney. I got an amazing amount of opportunities to share. I used to, you know, go into these houses, share the gospel, pray in the room. There were these problems all around the same area. Really interesting. Can't understand what was going on. But, you know, there was that part of me that just wanted to say, oh, it's just a child imagining things, instead of, as the Lord led me to do, taking them seriously. It's really important that we encourage parents. Being a parent is great, but it's not easy. I mean, we know that lots of us have been through it and are grandparents now. And, you know, they say that your grandchildren are your revenge on your children, you know. And especially when they get to teenage age and goes, ah, yeah, you were just like that. Yeah, like my mum used to, you know, when we had teenagers. And they'll do that with their children and so on and so forth. But I tell you, I really believe it's tougher today than it was when I was a parent. I still am, but you know what I mean? When I was raising younger children, there are so many more influences, you know, phones, the internet, cyberbullying. It's really tough, and we really need to pray for the parents here. You know, encourage these parents. And it's all too easy that to criticize people and say, oh, yeah, the children are running about and this kind of thing. And not actually appreciate how tough it is being a parent nowadays. Encourage those parents. That's what Jesus wants. And we've got a parenting course that Sally and Denise are running. Pray for them in that important ministry. That's involving people outside of the church family. Fantastic. And encouraging people to bring their children up in the right way. We've got to encourage parents. So important. And then secondly, we need to welcome children. I had an auntie, well, she wasn't actually like a blood relative, she was a family friend, we called an auntie. She was lovely, but she was she must have kind of grown up in Victorian times. She was very elderly when I was young. Auntie Kit, her name was. And I loved Auntie Kit, but she was quite austere Victorian spinster lady. And she used to babysit. She didn't quite know how to handle children sometimes, but we ran rings around her, actually, usually. But when she used to hold these dinner parties, really kind of Victorian-type dinner parties, and my mum and dad would be invited, and she'd like me and my sister to come, but she would say to us, "Now remember, children should be seen, but not heard." And actually, that's a very Victorian attitude, but you know, it's not a Christian one. It's not Jesus' attitude here. Look at the three ways in which he encourages us to welcome children among us, to take them to our heart, to allow them to be among us. He says this positively and negatively. Positively, he says, "Let the children come to me." And in that culture, as I've said, children were on the margins. Jesus is bringing them to the center. Come on, come on, bring them, bring them. I want them among us. They thought they had Jesus' best interest at heart. They didn't. He wanted to welcome them. And notice it was the children he was welcoming, not the parents. I'm sure he was blessing what the parents did, but actually was focused on those they were bringing. Negatively, he says, do not hinder them. Make sure you don't put any obstacles in their way. Remember, Jesus was indignant that obstacles had been put in their way. In my church in Chesterfield, there was a young lad who decided that he didn't want to go into Sunday school, or I can't think which kind of group he was in. And people were really appalled at this. He wanted to sit in the service to listen to the sermon. And, you know, it was interesting, the reaction, because people were saying, this, it can't be true. It can't be right. You know, and they were saying, oh, no, get back to your group. And I said, hang on. And just let him come and see what it's like. Do you know, that young fella, he was only about 9 or 10. He was the best listener. He kept eye contact throughout. Sometimes I'd slip like something child, like Goosebumps or Horrible Histories or that sort of thing in, just to show him that I was a little bit in touch. And do you know what happened? It was while I was here, I got an email from his mum, and she sent me a YouTube link. Obviously, I'm getting a bit worked up thinking about this. And it said, I want you to see Josh's first sermon. And he learnt it from you. And now, you know, that was kind of allowing him in. Everyone thought, he's a child. He's not going to understand this. It's too complicated. But God was at work in his heart. And that young fella, he's at Bible college now, and he's been involved in mission and work all over the place. So that's just so encouraging. We used to get a lot of flack for this, but we were like so child-friendly. One service, we decided to let this 14-year-old lad preach. And he was so little, he was quite short. We actually put a box on him to stand on. Well, he's involved in Christian ministry. I don't know if he went to Bible. I've kind of lost touch with him a bit, but I know he was really involved in his church and teaching and preaching. You don't know what God's doing in their lives. Allow them in. Don't just say, go and play. You'll understand when you're older. I used to get that. You know, I wanted, when I was quite young, when I was about 8, I wanted to know more about Jesus. And most people said, oh, you're too young to understand. But there was a teacher I had called Mrs. Hockley. And she'd sit and spend time with me. And she was so thrilled when she heard I was going into the ministry. So allow them and appreciate them. That's the next thing. Appreciate them in the way that Jesus does. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Now, what does he mean? Well, this is something similar to what he said in the previous chapter. You know, he brought the child among them and said, you have to be like a child to be part of the kingdom of God. The child is a model for discipleship. The child is a sign of the kingdom. And the kingdom of God is the sphere of God's rule. Jesus said the kingdom of God is at hand. He'd come to establish that kingdom by dying and rising again and extend that kingdom as people came under God's rule by coming to Jesus. And as we come under God's rule by becoming Christians, that will be fulfilled when Jesus returns and reigns. And children are a sign of that kingdom. So he's using them as an example. But he's also talking about the children themselves here. He's welcoming them into their presence, and he's going to personally bless each one of them. He's saying, these children are important to my kingdom. Now, I know that kind of gets us into kind of a big debate about, you know, well, what is a child's spiritual status? Well, in the dedication service today, we've welcomed Axel into the church family. We've welcomed him as part of this community to know that the grace of God that's ministered to him through here. And, you know, we pray that one day he'll know Jesus, but there is this sense that there's the overflow of the blessing of the kingdom upon him. Andy Goodliff, who's a kind of young, up-and-coming theologian, specializes on Christian and is a minister in Southend, Bellevue Baptist Church, where my great-grandfather used to be the church secretary, by the way. Just thought you'd like to know that. But I find his stuff on children really good. And he said, when Jesus says that the kingdom of God belongs to children, he's reversing their status. He's saying that children matter. In the kingdom of God, children are included. That is, they participate in the blessings of the kingdom and the new community of God until they deem themselves otherwise. And there is this sense in which they're kind of covered by the grace here until that time when they decide they're going to be baptized and go forward in their faith, or, and I hope not, but sadly sometimes they reject it. I find that verse in 1 Corinthians 7:14 interesting and helpful. And I don't know how much to build on that this morning, but I'll just chuck this in as an extra. But the context is about a believing husband and believing wife and an unbelieving husband. And it says, stay in, you know, it's not the end of the marriage because you've got one who's a believer and one who's not. And it says, your children are covered by your prayers. Interesting that there's a sense in which our children are come under the covering of that grace. Now, you might pick me to pieces theologically on that, but I'd need to work that through a bit more. But certainly, if nothing else, Jesus is talking about the blessings of the kingdom overflowing to our children here, and that the children themselves are a sign of the kingdom. They're an example of discipleship in their vulnerability, in their faith. I hope I don't get like a boring granddad here, but I mean, my granddaughter is, there's never been a time in which she said, I've given my life to Jesus, but I know that she does know Jesus and that she has got such a strong faith. She's the one who's always telling me off. Something she said, you shouldn't listen to that music, you know, it's not good, she says to me. And she doesn't just mean the music. or she'll say, you should pray about that, granddad. And actually, when it was Halloween, she wanted to give out sweets to people on trick-or-treat, for trick-or-treat. We don't usually do that. We usually just sort of close the curtains and switch the lights off. And she said she didn't want to take it, and she wanted to give it. And she said, well, do you know, it's like we're giving to the poor. She said, because they don't know God, so we're giving them this. And you know, she just got something there. There hasn't been a time when she said, oh, I've committed myself to Jesus. I don't know if there will be. I think she'll just probably get baptized and go on and serve him and love him. It's happened somewhere along that time. Often that happens. And the problem is, the background that I come from was very in and out. You know, it's clear cut. You're in or you're out. But it's a lot more fuzzy than that. People are journeying towards Jesus, particularly children. And we can't always see what stage of the journey they're on. And some of them, pretty much more advanced than us, I'll tell you that. So allow, appreciate, and then anticipate Jesus' blessing on children in our church and family. Verse 16, he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. Do you see the way that Mark kind of slows it down there? You know, when you're watching a film, and it's quite fast-paced, but suddenly they'll focus in on something and it will be quite slow, maybe even in slow motion. That's actually what Mark is doing here. He took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. Mark's quite a fast-paced gospel. This is quite slow for him, but he wants to get this across, how personal and intimate it was. Each child came to Jesus. Must have taken a long time. Jesus was a real man. He would have been exhausted. And literally it is, he blessed them fervently. There was nothing half-hearted about this. And blessing here is to call down God's favor. Jesus is announcing God's grace and blessing. Jesus blesses the children here. Let's anticipate his blessing on them. It doesn't have to wait till they're baptized. Happens now. And I don't know the ins and outs and can't be too theologically defined about that, but I know it. I've seen it. And I see it in Jesus here. So we need to encourage parents, welcome children, and then finally, leave a legacy. Psalm 127, verse 3 says, "Children are a heritage of the Lord. Offspring are a reward from him. They are our heritage. They are our future." You know, we're not in the business of entertaining the children while the grown-ups do the important things. That's not what the children's work is all about. We are investing in the kingdom. We are investing in their future. God's going to use that time and those gifts that are poured out on children to do great things. There was a young lad who used to talk to me every Sunday. He was only about 9. And there was just a mark of something on him. Every Sunday, he'd want to sit and chat to me. He desperately wanted to be baptized, but I mean, my policy has always been parental consent. You know, the parents have got to agree. And his parents were Christians, but they said, no, he's not really. That's fine. I respected that. But that lad, there was every week he had questions. He'd listen to the sermon, and there were questions that he had and things going on. I often, you know, you could see that people are a bit critical just in the way they looked. What's he sitting down talking to that child for when he should be speaking to people? But I did invest a lot of time in chatting to him. You know, I saw recently, he's at a university, second year of university. I saw he was involved in welcoming new students as part of the Christian Union. He's one of the leaders there. And I said, hey, great to see that you're going on with the Lord. And again, sorry, I'm getting a bit worked up again here. It was just wonderful to see. Actually, seeds that were sown there have been blessed. You know, God will bless those things. They are our legacy. We need to do what Jesus did. We need to take children from the margins and put them into the center. And we need people who are called and gifted to minister to children here. We need that. Don't expect, you know, and in faith, you know, I do pray and I do believe that God will honor our prayers and give us a new children and families worker. But don't think we're going to bring in a new children's family worker and they're going to solve it. They need to come on the wave of something. We need to all have a heart for children, and we need people from among us who are called and gifted to work with children to get stuck in. And the children's work, to be quite frank, is struggling at the minute, and we need to pray about that. But we need that heart to invest in them. Now, earlier on, I put forward a vision for ministry to children, and again, it's a bit sort of long, but it's a beginning, and I just want to remind you of that. Welcome children as Jesus would, pray for them, and provide settings in which they can pray for others, support and help their parents, carers, and families, teach children about Jesus by word and example. Live as a Christian community which enables them to be and to grow in a living relationship with Jesus. Look forward to the time when they declare their faith in Jesus through baptism. Equip them to live as his disciples. So let's act on this. Giving thanks to God for our children. Appreciating them. Taking a prayerful and personal interest in them. Praying that God will raise up people who have a heart for children, are gifted to work with children, and will minister to children. And remembering, we're all part of this ministry. It is the heritage of our church. Some of you sitting here today were the heritage a few years ago, some many years ago. But I remember, I'm going to embarrass Paddy here. Paddy tells me stories of when she was a little girl. She was naughty sometimes as well, she said. No, not really. But it's just wonderful listening to people like Paddy and Valerie, you know, who grew up in this church, who were the heritage then. Our children are the heritage for the future. I mean, times have changed. They may be sort of any place in the world now. They may not stay in Hucknall. But they're our future. And they're important to Jesus and to his kingdom. So they must be important to us. Let's have Jesus' heart for these children. Let's pray. Actually, I think if your heart's warmed, I'd ask you to stand. If your heart's warmed by this, to stand with me and to pray for our children. Heavenly Father, we do praise you that you create children for the gift of children. We thank you for the many children that we have here, all with their individual personalities and backgrounds and needs, and all with the gifts that they bring. And we pray that we would have the heart that Jesus had for children, that we would see them as a sign of the kingdom, as our heritage for the future, and often a means of blessing, a way in which you speak to us in surprising ways. Bless our children, we pray. And I pray that you would call people to get involved in the work with children here. Pray about the need for our new children and families worker, and pray you would have your hand and call someone to that role. In faith, we ask this. And we pray for Liam as he works with the young people, and we thank you for the fantastic youth that we have and the faith they have in you, and pray they would go on with you. In the name of Jesus, we ask this. Amen.